Hi there, everyone. It's James and Vanna here. It's Your Move podcast for the It's Your Move podcast. And we are going to be talking today about the story part two. Vanna, maybe before we start, can I just get a confirmation from you? Is that the end of the introduction?
No, definitely not. No.
It's not even the end of the introduction.
No, it's not the end. I obviously said in the message that that was part two.
Yes.
Of a three-part introduction.
Okay.
So next week we're doing a three-part, part three, then we'll take a two-week break, and then we'll continue.
That's right. Okay. So part two of the introduction, part two of the series. Now there's a lot here, and we're not going to be able to go into everything, but one of the points that I've had to wrestle with a lot in my discipleship and my reading of the Bible is I constantly get reminded that my own story, as you described it, my own personal bias, my own upbringing, my own temperament, all of those things impact the reading, my reading of the Bible. And, you know, when you share some of the points like you did today, kind of reminds me, okay, you know, I'm as I read this unfiltered, I'm not reading it as a Jew, or I'm not reading it as a 3,000-year-old, you know, Greek or what have you. I mean, from your experience personally, and from different people that you've counseled, and obviously you've been leading churches for many years, how have you kind of seen that manifest where our own story kind of taints our reading of the Bible?
Well, I think part of it is obviously our own personal story.
Mm.
But I also think that a huge part of it is our story of religion, if you may, and then personality attached to it.
Mm.
So there are certain perspectives that I have because of my personality, and then obviously because of a bigger worldview that I accept as a worldview because I grew up with that worldview.
Mm.
And we see it obviously with someone, let's say, I'll give two examples that would be very familiar to all of us, is, or most of us, particularly if you're above 30 or 40, if you grew up in a traditional church, you would have certain perspectives on things that has been taught that way for many years, and so that's my view. My view is that these things must be right because we've been doing it for centuries.
Mm.
And so I'm guided by tradition, and if I say church tradition, obviously that's church, a small c, not necessarily church of the Bible tradition. The other one that would be obvious to many of us is that feelings trump truth, and so I feel certain things, I feel close to God, and therefore I must be close to God. Now, even though I am sleeping with my girlfriend, or being demeaning to others, and a gossiper, and a liar, whatever else, I feel wonderful in worship, and God is moving me, and therefore all's okay. So that's obviously tainting my worldview. And then if I come from one of those points, and there are many others, I tend to read the Bible through that lens.
Mm.
So I see in the Bible what I want to see versus what it might actually be saying.
Mm.
And I am, to your part of what you said there, I'm not a Jew that lived 3,000 years ago. I'm a South African living today. But before I can figure out, and you know this obviously, is before I can figure out what the Bible is saying to me today, I have to try and figure out what did it mean to them back then. And then obviously where I'm trying to go is, before I even do that, can I see the grand narrative of where all of it is going? Because I think once that picture becomes clearer, the smaller parts make a lot more sense.
Mm.
And then I can prayerfully distinguish through even that little video that we watched in the beginning, where God will open the eyes of our hearts and our minds for that matter. Then I would be able to distinguish more what is God's plan and his narrative, and how do I fit into that versus trying to draw him into my narrative.
Mm-mm-mm.
Sure, that was a long answer, but
no, but that's good. And look, I think maybe we can come back to the story now, but maybe somewhat related again to my own story, and I'm sure for many is, you know, I would read maybe a passage in the scripture, I would understand, you know, kind of in my mind and cognitively, I would understand, listen, I don't really know what was going on here. This is not culturally relevant to my life. I need to go and dig a little bit deeper, maybe read some more commentaries or try and understand. And certainly a mistake I make less, but I still think I can make the mistake. And I know possibly some of the listeners are guilty of this too, is, you know, let me pick up one commentary, see what someone had to say about it, and now all of a sudden I understand what the Jews believed back then. I mean, you've obviously been doing a lot of reading around this. How do we kind of because that also becomes dangerous, where we feel like we're doing the right thing, but we're also still limiting ourselves.
I think I've said this in a previous podcast, or even from the pulpit, I'm not sure, but you cannot say that the Jews believed, because as with Christianity today, having different factions, if you may, so also the Jews, and we'll get to that at some point in the story, at certain mainstream factions, and then obviously smaller ones. And I guess you don't have to know it all. You don't have to be a biblical scholar. I think I would just encourage some understanding of these things, to understand some form of worldview that they had and how it was shaped. I also know that most probably more than half of the congregation today felt overwhelmed by what they heard and are now thinking that they need to become biblical scholars. And I don't think God is calling all us to be biblical scholars. I think what God has done in his kindness is he has given certain people a passion for things. Time, resources, whatever else, to actually be able to do this, and we can just tap into what they've learned. Okay, and I always see this as the value of a book, because I'm reading something where this guy's been studying this for 30 years, and I can read his view.
Yes.
Okay. Now, even in reading things like Jewish literature, like the Apocrypha, it doesn't mean it's canonical, but I can at least understand some view, and then through prayer and conversation. So we read something, we're learning it, you and I are talking, but it's a community effort, this will at some point come out as well. We obviously see it as very personal, and there is without a doubt a personal element to it, but the Jewish faith and the Christian faith is a community thing. It's a communal discussion. It's a communal living. It's God's purposes for the Jewish people, and then for the church, which is the people of God, is communal, and we need to figure it out together. And I don't have to know all of this to have a relationship with God.
Yes.
But certainly, if I get the big picture and the grand narrative, man, I think it changes everything, because the detail then, I don't want to say don't matter, but I will more easily see what the author most probably meant if I picture this. And an example that we'll get to is, if I see the purpose of life is that I need to get from earth to heaven, then I'll read everything through that lens. And obviously, I think that is a skewed lens, which we'll get to. But then I will read everything as I need to do ABC to get to heaven. And people that live this way will get to heaven, other people will not. Now I realize I can't get to heaven, so how do I find a way to get to heaven? And it must be through faith alone. Because my purpose is to get to heaven. And what I'm asking is the purpose of it all to get to heaven? Which obviously I don't think it is. I think heaven certainly plays a part of the story. But it is in my mind, and again, we'll get to that, certainly not the final part of the story.
Brilliant. Well, look, again, I think we'll have to pick up on these themes as we continue with the podcast. We won't touch on everything today. I mean, just, in your mind, what kind of as the end goal here, and you might have shared this before, but maybe you can share it again in different words. How are we going to benefit you and me, the leadership team, the small group leaders, and the church as a whole? How are we as a church going to benefit from understanding the story better, maybe clearing out kind of old ways of thinking that maybe we've inherited as a culture, or even as a church we've inherited from those that have been before us? How do you see us, if we really take, because it takes time, it's going to take effort, we're going to have to make sacrifices to go back and listen and to do the reading and to try and have discussions around these topics. What do you feel would be a win for us as a church?
Okay, I think first of all, but there's two things that I hope to see happen from our side that I'm hoping for and praying for. And this is one is obviously understanding the story that I'll circle back to just now. But for people's desire to know the scriptures better to increase and not to do my time. So in other words, I'm doing my time in the morning. I'm saying my prayer. I'm reading my Bible. Again, I'm ticking boxes. And I even love some of it. But I'm ticking boxes so that I can be a Christian, so that I can go to heaven, so that I can be a part of God's eternal thing. Okay, and again, there's some trees in that. But one would be desire to study. But I think number two would be if we understand this more clearly, which I believe the first or the early Christians did, if we are able to look through the same lens as they did, we will continue to be transformed as they were. So you see in Acts chapter 2, the starting of the church, you see a people on fire, a people turning, whose lives are turned upside down, who turns everything upside down wherever they go, who is willing to experience beating, persecution, go by ship, we know Paul's deal, all of that. Why?
Mm.
Was it so that they could go to heaven?
Mm-mm-mm.
Obviously, I think no. I think that, again, plays a small part of it, but I think there is much more to it, and they were able to see it. And they, what they were able to see is they were able to see a story coming from Genesis chapter 1 to their very moment. And they didn't see it in the time. They only started to make sense of this after Jesus was resurrected and even ascended into, let's say, into heaven. They started to make sense of this, and they were saying, wow, I'll give my life to this. I hope that as we, as God lifts the veil from our eyes over months or years, whatever it might take, that it would have that same effect in our lives, where we don't play church, we don't go to church, we want to be the church, we want to be these transformed people that transforms the world that we're in and form part of God's plan.
Amen. But, well, that's very, that's very inspiring, very encouraging. And I think, for the, for those that are listening, those that are wrestling with these things, I think, there's something very exciting about even putting yourselves, as hard as it may be, putting ourselves into God's shoes and seeing a group of people that are fighting incredibly hard to try and get Him, to try and understand His story, to bend our thinking, bend our lives and our faith and our hearts towards His story. And I think it's a potentially very, very exciting time for us as a church. And I think if we can get it right, and we can do the work that's required, and we can take great steps towards that. So thanks for bringing us on this journey.
I mean, just before we close out, I think I've briefly made this clear through our time now, is we are all in a different space, place, and journey, and God meets us where we're at.
Mm.
And He wants us to take steps forward. And instead of thinking, well, I need to jump from zero to euro, I just want to encourage us, don't try and jump from zero to euro, jump from zero to one. And even if it takes you 6 months to get to one, it will most probably take you 3 months to get to two, and then another month to get to three. But if you stay the course, you pray, you include others, you study, you let God do His work, I think you will be amazed.
Amen. So
that would be my last 2 cents.
Amen. Well, thanks very much, Vanna, and cheers to everyone listening. We will see you again soon.
Thank you very much. Cheerio.